Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Somehow, God is in me, and there's a sense in which I am like God and man all at once.
Many religions claim that we will all eventually be gods. The Bible says something so much better. It says, no, God will continue to be God. Man will continue to be man, but God will come upon man.
No way!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Church news. Some have been rather sad.
He said sarcastically.
This is Wretched Radio. Gotta tell you, I can't get enough of that there hymn. I have heard it now 600 times, and I could hear it 8,000 more. Hey, in heaven we probably will, because that was accompanied by a pipe organ. And that is what you should anticipate with delight and joy. Let's get to some church news, which, it's a little bit sad. Jimmy? Do you have any of those towels in there? I just want to wipe up the sarcasm and the mockery that we've got going. IHOP, out of business for now. Basically, filing for bankruptcy and restructuring. What?
I love their pancakes.
They're pancakes, but you know who has better pancakes than IHOP?
Waffle House.
Pretty much anyone, actually. I don't think Waffle House has pancakes.
They don't. That was the joke.
No, Waffle House is the joke. The original House of Pancakes, they got good pancakes, especially in the fall when they do those pumpkin pancakes. Oh, wow. And then, of course, there was, I'm getting verklempt again, Mickey's Diner in St. Paul, Minnesota, which is now out of business. If you're not from St. Paul, Minnesota, first of all, I'm sorry. Second of all, Mickey's Diner was an actual train car. It was they took the train car, plopped it in the middle of downtown St. Paul, and they were slinging breakfast 24/7. And the people who went to Mickey's ranged from the homeless who maybe found some money up to, you would see lawyers and anybody else from the high rises that actually had to be built around it because it was on the National Registry, out of business. I went there as a kid after fishing. That's how old this place is, and it had been around for decades before that. Why is it out of business? Well, because downtown St. Paul, for various and sundry reasons, but let's just attribute it to wokeism, is dying, and it breaks my heart. But enough about IHOP pancakes. Let's talk about IHOP Kansas City. That's a different thing altogether. That's a different thing altogether. You're supposed to say that's a different thing.
That's a different thing.
Altogether. See what we did right there.
How different is it?
It's out of business. They closed up because of the, well, I guess it's fair to call them scandals surrounding Mike Bickle, Prophet Mike Bickle. There were some accusations. They were deemed to be accurate. And it really harmed the church. And instead of just shuttering the doors or basically finding a biblical preacher, they're going to rebrand. They're just going to shut it down for a minute and then come up with a new name and reopen it. What a mess. Today, as we're celebrating the close of Forerunner Church, it's not anything we expected to do. It's not anything we were planning a year ago. Like, hey, we got this wild idea. Let's close down Forerunner Church. Well, they're not closing it down. It's a name change. And they will be back in business. And when I say back in business, I do mean back in business, which brings us to Carl Lentz, who appears to be back in business starting June 4th. If you're not familiar with the Hillsong pastor, more scandal, unfaithfulness. I do believe with the nanny, how charming is that? Disgraced, left Hillsong. Well, now on the Instagram machine, he's posted a video. It's bizarre look. I mean, it's current looking. I'm sure that's exactly the type of thing that attracts attention these days. The dude does know how to market and put together videos. And he and his wife released this rather cryptic message that said, new beginning, June 4th. Please, don't let it be in the church. Please, let it be any place doing anything else. If we cannot take seriously the qualifications for an elder and say, this is a fellow who has disqualified himself, all right, then we move on. This does not mean that the guy can't be a member of the church, but that is precisely the problem. He's been working supposedly a transformation church in Oklahoma City, I believe. Isn't that where Mike Todd's business is? Transformation Church. He wasn't pastoring. He wasn't preaching. He was just advising. In other words, giving them church growth strategies, how to put on a worship service that attracts lots of goats. And this is from the executive pastor, Tammy. Oh. Huh. I wonder if that's a typo and they meant Tommy. Nah. After 2 years of Carl being in his... Now, listen for the category error. After 2 years of Carl Lentz being in his own discovery and healing process, does that mean repentance? Is that the word we're actually looking for? He has shown readiness to use his God-given gifts towards the local church again. I'm sure he has. We believe in Carl, his marriage, his skill set, and his restoration, claiming this is what church is all about. No, it's not what church is all about. Church is all about the lost, the wayward, the sinful, coming underneath the protective care of elders having given a profession of faith that indicates they are indeed born again. Everyone's walk, even Carl Lentz, if he would get saved and start going to a Bible teaching church, he would be welcomed and he could be made a part of that family. Would he perhaps have limited roles? Most likely. But he would still be welcome as a believer in the church. That's restoration that we can say amen to. What these folks do, they jump the category. See, isn't Christianity all about forgiveness? Aren't we all just a bunch of sinners? Therefore, he can be a pastor again. That's a Mott and Bailey. No, I don't think that 1 Timothy 3 allows for that. Well, don't you believe in restoration? Yeah, for believers, for individuals. But now when it comes to the office of pastor, this is why not many should pursue this office. Because if you biff it, you're out. And it's fascinating. I have a friend who fell years ago. And we remain in contact to this day. And as we talked about his fall from ministry and now his new life, because he did the right thing, repented, worked on his family, and did not go back into business as a pastor. He went and did something else. And he said something that I had to chew on for a bit and ultimately go, okay, all right, I think I'm getting that. He said, I think most of these guys can never imagine themselves doing anything but being a pastor. It's what they know. And I would add, they love the spotlight. There was an article written in KansasCity.com regarding IHOP and Mike Bickle. Again, the church is going kafritz. They're going to try. It'll be a pale reflection of what it once was. The whole church needs to repent. The whole thing is a dog's breakfast. But this is a little background on Prophet Mike Bickle, who led the IHOP KC branch. A decades-old prophecy promoted by Mike Bickle has been repeatedly recited to rally believers based on information that isn't true. This is from, I believe, the Kansas City Star. Involved the timing of the 1990 death of the mother of Bickle's good friend, Paul Kane. Paul Kane has a scandalous history. A man highly regarded as a prophet. He's been invoked as a message from God that an anointing of the Holy Spirit is coming. And when the time arrives, leaders like Bickle and the International House of Prayer will play a key role. Ah, that's how you raise money right there. The story told over the years is that Anna Kane, so this is the mother of another air quote prophet, that she died at 4:18 p.m. on April 18th. January, February, that's 4:18. And gave the Bible verse, Luke 4:18, to her son just as he passed. Get it? God was speaking. 4:18. The only problem is her death certificate indicates she didn't die on that day or at that time. Other than that, it's a wonderful story to raise funds and make people go ooh and ah, as if somehow God is cryptically speaking to us today when we have a more sure word. And so this story reveals lacking integrity on many levels, disqualified. And whilst Mike Bickle would also, if Mike Bickle came to Alpharetta Bible Church repentant, could he be made a member there? Yes, he could. Under the authority of elders, would he serve as a prophet? No. No, he wouldn't. There are no such things. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. And let me tell you just how this ministry is going to get a facelift later this year. First of all, meet Dr. Jason Lyle, one of the new voices who will be coming into the Gospel Partners Media Ministry. Dr. Lyle's an astrophysicist. He's the founder of the Biblical Science Institute. He holds a PhD in astrophysics from the University of Colorado, and Dr. Lyle brings a wealth of knowledge in science and faith. With leaders like Dr. Jason Lyle, our ministry will begin to inspire and equip the church even more so than it already has been. This is a brave new world we're living in, and your support can help us bring more voices like his to the forefront. Join our $250,000 match campaign happening right now. Just visit wretched.org/fellows to see how you can partner with us to make a difference. And together we can transform lives with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Gotta tell you, very excited. We have got a new outreach that we are working on with the good folks at the Masters Academy International, talking about getting John MacArthur study Bibles in Spanish to South American countries, some of which we maybe can't mention, if you know what I'm saying. It was such a delightful time, and so many people participated in our Bible distribution to the Philippines. That was such a gas. But as long as I brought up the Masters Academy International, it is a great ministry. It's a privilege to be working with these people. They're very thoughtful. They're very methodical. Teaching men how to preach the Word of God rightly. Then they send them back to their churches where they open up the Bible, perhaps for the first time, at least to that depth. Because of the training of the Masters Academy International, if you want to support a ministry that strengthens the local church, hey, you'd be hard-pressed to do better than TMAI. You can learn more about that, if and you want to, at wretched.org/pastor.
All right, folks, get ready. Grab yourself a comfortable chair, a box of tissues, and get ready to go on a bit of a roller coaster ride, because that's what's going to happen if you pick up Safely Home by Randy Alcorn, a book that's been making even the toughest men cry like babies who drop their ice cream. Safely Home will challenge your faith, it will question your comfort, and it will make you reconsider how you view the lost. It is a straight-up sucker punch with hard-hitting questions like, are you ready to suffer for your faith? Are you ready to die for it? Yeah, it's that intense. And don't take my word for it. You can actually read a sample right now in the Wretched store at wretched.org. And remember, when you purchase the book, tissues are not included, but they are heavily recommended. Seriously, stock up. Grab your copy right now of Safely Home by Randy Alcorn at wretched.org, and get ready to have your faith strengthened like never before. Just don't say we didn't warn you.
Books of the Bible. The book of Joel describes a series of disasters that serve as God's judgment and a warning that an even more severe day of judgment is coming. When you see the power and fury of creation, do not fear nature, but fear him who controls nature. But if God's people will turn to him in repentance, he will be compassionate and rescue them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Jimmy's right. I can't believe that I blew it like that. This is Wretched Radio. You brought up Francis Chan. I missed my opportunity.
Yeah, you did.
I love Mike Bickle. I prayed with him. He's amazing. He's also a liar. That's what he is. Saying that the mother of another supposed prophet was clearly prophesying the success of Mike Bickle and other so-called prophets because she died at 418 on 418, giving the Bible verse Luke 4:18. The problem is, it's not correct. Now, whether she gave Luke 4:18 or not, I have no idea. But the birth certificate doesn't lie. She wasn't dead on 418. But that's exactly what Mike Bickle sold. And these people that there's a danger, there's a trick, there's a little bit of tension, if you will, when it comes to knowing somebody and yet still being discerning. So I'm sure if you met somebody like Mike Bickle, I have no doubt he's a really nice guy. And sometimes when you get to know somebody, it can have some value in discerning, okay, what are they up to? Why are they doing this? You can get to know their heart. Having said that, you can race right across a line and ignore the false things that are being propagated by that preacher because you got to know them and they were really nice. Francis Chan was probably wooed by Mike Bickle when he prays. It's so amazing. And I came here today and I had a Bible text and everything, but I, with just you guys. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Spot on.
And then, what do you know? Even while he was saying that, Deepak Chopra walked into the room.
Who is this preacher? He seems very whiny to me.
IHOP Kansas City closed. Mike Bickle being revealed as somebody who is willing to sell lies. The deathbed story is a cornerstone of IHOP Kansas City's prophetic history, which it describes as about 25, give or take, you know, who keeps track of these things, 25 powerful prophetic experiences that provide insight into what will happen in the days ahead in Kansas City. According to IHOP, quote, these supernatural experiences were given to several prophetic people in the 70s and 80s. They include times when various believers saw the Lord, pants on fire, heard God's audible voice, saw an angel, or had prophetic dreams that were dramatically confirmed. This is obviously continuationism, and this is something that really is not all that hard to put to bed when it comes to people being prophets. In fact, thanks for asking it. I'll offer at a Bible church. On last Sunday, Jesus is instructing the disciples, and he then lists these 12 apostles, and he gives them authority, understanding that an apostle is one who was considered, the Greek language, a sent one as an ambassador from the king, given authority. So you better listen to this guy because he represents the king. That's the same for our Christian apostles. They represent the king because they'd been sent by the king because they'd spent time with the king, another qualification for being an apostle, and for being given marching orders from the king. And so Jesus gives authority to them. And people like IHOP Kansas City would say, see, we have that authority too. Here's the problem with that, among other things. Number one, we don't have instances of people being raised from the dead. We have tricks, parlor tricks, but we don't have any organic instantaneous healings. Don't miss that when you read the teach the healings of Jesus Christ. Boom! They happened immediately, totally, organically. There was no mystery, no lingering. They knew it because leprosy is visible. Not being able to walk, visible. Being dead, visible. I think your leg is a little long. Let me see if I can straighten that. Hey, does your tummy not hurt so bad right now after I prayed for you? Nothing organic and instantaneous. Jesus healed on the spot. He gave the apostles the same authority and told them, freely give, you've been freely given, now freely go heal people all over the place. And they did that. But how do we know that it stops with them? Well, number one, history tells us we just don't see these things happening. They just don't. And nobody, you would think in this day and age of technology, one absolute organic instantaneous healing would somehow be recorded on somebody's cell phone. Just can't seem to find that now, can we? Second, in the discourse that Jesus gives, it's his second lengthy discourse in the Gospel of Matthew, he gives them all kinds of instructions. For instance, only go to the Jews. Huh? Does that mean we're only supposed to go to the Jews? The prosperity preachers would say, well, no, we go to everybody. Well, wait a second. Jesus told them to just go to the Jews, so therefore those should be our instructions too. Well, no, not those. Bingo. Because not everything that was told to them is given to us. Not everything that they were given do we have. They served a purpose for a time. Purpose is served. We now have a more sure prophetic word. Here's one the prosperity preachers would say, no, that's not true. Jesus said, don't take a money belt. Don't carry anything with you. Well, no, that doesn't apply to us because I'm loaded and I've got a safe in my private jet. So they pick and choose what they don't want to apply. And unfortunately, they have picked that we can somehow still raise people from the dead. Did you read about that pastor? I don't think we talked about him. It was a very bizarre story of his wife. She had filed for divorce, or she was filing for divorce. She actually called up the police so that they could have, like, track her cell phone, because she was in the forest and she was going to kill herself with a gun that she bought the day before. And she wanted her family to be able to find her. The dude had an alibi because he was videoed in a car with a woman with whom he's romantically linked on his way to some sporting event in Charleston. And then he tells his congregation at her funeral that several times when she was dead, he laid down beside her, hoping to raise her from the dead. She's not alive because those promises, that authority is not given to us. Do we need to recall what is an even grosser tragedy? Olive in 2019 through Bethel Church? That was a tragedy, that little girl. And they marshaled the entire world to pray for her to bring her back from the dead. Didn't work because we don't have that authority. And the context of it should make that plain. There were just certain things that were just for them, and we can take principles from them. For instance, you say, well, what about, you know, not bringing money? And don't worry about hospitality. Well, there's two principles I can take from that. Rely on the Lord. And this is urgent. But that's it. Otherwise, those details in a historical narrative, they kind of fall to the background, fade to the background, but we do take the principle from them. Here's another disgraced pastor who's back in business, going to start another campus, by the way, in lovely Greenville, South Carolina. That is such a great town. If you're looking for a place to go in the South, believe me, you could do worse than Greenville. It is an amazing town, and Perry Noble set up shop right outside of Greenville. Now they're going to be opening up another church. He just preached that if it weren't for women preachers, we wouldn't even know Jesus is alive. I'm thinking of Phil Johnson right now when we were talking about, I think he was responding to Unhitching Your Old Testament. And Phil Johnson, sometimes some quotes stick in your head. It just reveals an appalling ignorance, or worse, an appalling ignorance. The women that Jesus told to go tell the disciples weren't preachers. He just told them to go. There's another category. See, they were preachers. No, they weren't. No. I want you to think about something for a minute, said Perry. Think about men in ministry specifically that you know are dogmatic. Only men can preach and women can't preach. Think about them. Would you invite any of them to your house for dinner? I am sure this is a logical fallacy. Nope, because they are a part of the body of Christ, but most of them are beep. Swear word. Noble then said, Paul, addressing Timothy, was just addressing a specific situation in the church of Ephesus, except for the fact that that doesn't override a clear didactic teaching in a section of scripture that is meant to be prescriptive. And so it is. He's back in business. Women were the first people to proclaim the resurrection. Amen. If women can't be preachers, we wouldn't even know Jesus was, should be were, alive. Well, yeah, we would. And just because Jesus sent them to proclaim his resurrection doesn't mean they were preachers. Offensively ignorant. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, Planned Parenthood found itself in hot water recently after posting a tone-deaf meme on social media claiming that abortion is health care. The pose, which depicted a person turning red with anger after being told abortion is not health care, was met with quite a bit of backlash. Critics pointed out, rightly, the absurdity of comparing the intentional ending of an innocent human life to legitimate medical care. Planned Parenthood's PR team apparently couldn't take the heat, so they shut down replies. Didn't delete the meme, just shut down commenting. Very Planned Parenthood of them. In other news, Netflix has been emerging as an unlikely defender of free speech and comedy. While much of the entertainment industry has bent over backwards to appeal to woke ideology, Netflix is giving platform to unapologetic comedians, and it's been paying off pretty big for them, with unwoke comedy specials raking in huge viewership numbers. And as Christians, I don't agree with all the jokes, especially the ones that cross the line, which is the majority of them, I think. But I do applaud Netflix for having the backbone to stand up against the outrage mob, which most other corporations bend the knee to. Over on The View, co-host Sunny Hostin, just love talking about her, had a bit of a meltdown over polls showing eroding support for President Biden among Black and Hispanic voters. Hostin insisted that she doesn't want to hear any more about Black men voting for Trump because, in her mind, Black women will strong-arm their male relatives into backing Biden. That's the mentality of the people who are being platformed these days. Gotta love America. In California, drivers are once again bracing for pain at the pump thanks to Governor Newsom's misguided gas price gouging law. And a ridiculous display of economic illiteracy, Newsom wants to impose penalties on oil companies for making too much profit. But common sense tells you that producers will just pass those costs on to consumers, right? Pushing already high gas prices into outer space. Even some Democratic lawmakers are getting nervous, with one senator noting that disadvantaged communities will bear the brunt of more cost hikes. When you've lost the Democrats on an anti-business crusade, it may be time to rethink your strategy, Governor Newsom. And finally, in a disturbing story out of New York, a Pakistani migrant was arrested for allegedly trying to run over Jews with his car. Witnesses say that the man yelled, quote, "I'm going to kill all Jews," while revving his engine and mounting the curb to go after Jewish pedestrians. Thankfully, no one was injured. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I am Jimmy Hicks.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called our sanctuary. Through Christ, we find refuge from God's justice and find a safe haven where we can enter into the presence of the Holy God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, now I totally struck out. I'm agitated. Every time I do, I get agitated with myself. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, yeah. What was my first strike?
Not doing your Francis Chan when we were talking about Mike Bickle.
Yeah, I love that guy. What was my second strike, Jimmy?
Doing your Francis Chan. No. No, the second strike was we've got a resource. You were talking about being discerning. And
but it's not available yet.
Not yet.
So it's a tease.
Yeah, that's right.
Is what you're saying.
That's right.
Justin Peters flew into town. We spent a couple of days together doing a bunch of stuff, not the least of which was a resource on discernment and how we're supposed to go about the business of actually applying biblical rules to discernment. It'll be ready someday. I think this fall, fourth quarter, something like that. Regardless, it tries to set forth rules. Not all of them, but it does have a lot of them. So I failed to mention something that doesn't exist yet.
That's right.
So that was, wouldn't that really have just been a ball?
That's a half a strike.
Okay, fine. So what's my second and a half strike?
Well, you did mention the tension between knowing someone and being discerning. And I do think there could have been some more time spent on that.
That's a tricky deal. For instance, we were talking about Carl Lentz, and the guy is now trying to come back into ministry, or use Perry Noble or any of these guys that have fallen disqualified. They can certainly be a part of a church, but they are disqualified from pastoral ministry. And the category errors abound. Nevertheless, these fellows are just clearly disqualified. But do you know how my opinion and my verdict might be altered if I knew them? Because I'd have sentiments toward them. Presuming, okay, so I get together with Carl Lentz and we have lunch. So that would be like Carl Lunch is what that would be. And he, of course, has a salad with protein. And I go with the pasta. And we get to know each other. And he seems like a fine enough fellow with when it comes to having lunch and chit-chatting about bodybuilding. Because, you know, it's pretty clear, I think the two of us spend a lot of time worrying about our carbohydrate intake. What would that do to my judgment about his disqualification? It could alter it. It could cause me to be watered down, and that's a bad thing. Now, having said that, I do believe that getting to know somebody should potentially slow us down, but not because we simply know them, but it is because we are to be loving and hoping the best for them. And that we want it to be wrong because we want good for them. We want good for the local church. So I think that by knowing somebody, that happens pretty automatically. You slow down, you think it through a little bit more carefully because, well, you know the dude. But we should always have that attitude, even when we don't know somebody. So I think that Jimmy, I would say that there's a little bit of a pull here in both directions. If you're just quick to judge, you just see it, read one article, you're done. You probably need to slow down and just be a little bit more. Now, I don't know how many minutes, hours, days, but because you want the best, you hope that you hope it was false reporting. Maybe there was something taken out of context. I want to understand this before I render a really severe judgment like you are no longer qualified for pastoral ministry. We should be wise and loving and hopeful in those scenarios, and we don't need to know that person in order to do that. So I do think that's something that those of us who tend to fall on that side would do well to remember. Now, on the other side, because you know somebody, you won't judge them at all. That is a danger. But they're so nice. They're Francis Chen with Mike Pickett. Yeah, I love that guy. He's so nice. And I praise. And I just, wow. Okay. His discernment eyes, if he has any, were blinded. So we got to watch it. So chances are pretty good. You're on one side of this little ditch or the other. But I would say this. There are some things that we need to be aware of and mindful of if we do know somebody or we don't know somebody. Because I don't know. There are some people who would say, for instance, Rick Warren, nicest guy you'll ever meet. And they say, super smart guy. I don't doubt that. But his position on women and pastoral ministry is wrong. Now, I don't need to know him for that. You want to make sure that you know exactly what his position is before you judge that. So you don't have to be quick draw McGraw when it comes to discernment. You can slow that down. Now, the danger would be, let's say I lived in Orange County, bump into him, we start going out, double dating. And he always picks up the tab. Well, you know, his position on the role of women, you know, it's a little more nuanced than what, see the danger there? So let's watch it on both sides. And I'll tell you this, the one that is definitely harder for me is slowing down. And the only, probably the, well, let's hope it's sanctification and God growing me. But one of the reasons would be over the years, all of the stories that I've seen, here's the accusation. Wait a second, 2 weeks later, totally false. Oh, okay, the one that comes to mind, and I know there's been more since, but it was that baseball player who was accused by a woman of abusing her. He got fired. He got kicked out of the league. And then he ended up going to Japan to play baseball. I'm sure it wasn't as lucrative. He had to move to a foreign country, and the woman came out and said, totally lied. Okay. Wow. Time is an element of discernment. And just because I've seen this before too over the years, that and these aren't unbelievers, this is just a propensity, that they insist on immediate verdict rendering. And if you don't, means you're compromising. Well, it could, of course, mean that, but it could also mean that you're just trying to be wise and thoughtful and biblical and hoping for the best. The side that I struggle with is just I want to be too quick. Because here's one for you. Okay, so Jimmy.
Yes.
Let's say that there was a pastor who said something about total depravity, that it's like it wasn't on point perfect, but it wasn't like, oh, he doesn't believe that we're totally depraved. But it was like, well, it was a little soft. All right. Okay. What would you think about that guy? You don't know.
I don't.
Okay. That guy is an Episcopalian priest.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that says
see,
more.
Now that just is so in and that's, by the way, you do need some of that context. My point is that sometimes we can render a verdict even by an association like that. I didn't hear the whole comment. It's what was the one? Oh, I know. It was the one that the Pope is in trouble for. You know, see, this is the problem with priests not being married and having children. They actually make statements like, we're basically good people. Have a child, Mr. Pope. You're going to learn lickety-split. We're not born angels. We're totally depraved little sinners. So now apparently, I think he's having to go on the apology. Maybe not that one. I think somebody said that there was, this is fascinating. In the last week, the Pope said basically, we're good. We're not bad people. We're good people. Don't know what Bible he's reading. He certainly has never gone to Chuck E. Cheese's. And then he said something about gay people that was deemed a slur. Guess which one he apologized for? That's right. Mm. The latter, not the former, because of the social pressure that goes with it. The theological comment, far worse. Far worse. No, I don't even remember what it was that was deemed a slur. Whatever the worst slur is toward anybody does not come close to the high-handed nature of misrepresenting God and speaking falsely about him. By the way, let me see if I can find this tweet. Oh, no, you're not going to open up the tweet. Buddy, we were talking about sin. And about true and false converts, because Jesus is on about that subject all the time. And this, my friend was also preaching from the Beatitudes. And the comment that he made, I went, boy, that's just super tweetable right there. Because it reminds us, it's not just about talk, it's about the walk. And that God, when it comes to blasphemy, oh, I wish I could find it for you. It's not just the words we say, it's the actions. So it's not just the talk, it's the total. I think that's pretty close. In other words, if you're a Christian, you represent yourself as a follower of Jesus Christ, but you do something that is not in alignment with our Savior, you've blasphemed. So yeah, you can blaspheme with your words because it's speaking lowly about God. But if you claim to represent God and you don't do it well, that is blasphemy, because it's not just about the talk, it's about the total. This is Wretched Radio. This May, how would you like to create countless Mother's Day celebrations? You say, I can't do that. I only have one mother. While that is most certainly true, there are countless women who find themselves in a crisis pregnancy situation, perhaps being pressured to abort their child. Enter Preborn Ministries, providing ultrasounds, clothing, food, counseling, and best of all, the gospel. And if you would consider supporting Preborn Ministries during the month of May, we have a matching gift campaign taking place, which means dollar for dollar, your gift will be matched. That means if you provide, say, 5 ultrasounds for $28 per ultrasound, that will be 10 babies, because women choose life when they see their child in utero. Would you please consider creating countless Mother's Day celebrations? Preborn.org/wretched.
Attention all Christians who refuse to be silenced. Are you tired of seeing culture crumble before your eyes? Picture this. Later this year, 8 brilliant minds, each a powerhouse in their field, will be coming on board and joining forces with us here at Gospel Partners Media, and we're creating a Christian version of The Daily Wire. We'll be tackling tough topics by writing articles, creating resources and homeschool curriculums, video resources, podcasts, and a lot more. These gentlemen will be your guides in navigating this upside down, brave new world we're living in. But we need your help to make this vision a reality. If you'll join our $250,000 match campaign right now, you can be part of this exciting new chapter. Every dollar you give will be matched up to $250,000. Just visit wretched.org/fellows right now to learn more about the initiative and each of the 8 brilliant minds that will be joining us. That's wretched.org/fellows.
You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now, they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I got to tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in scripture is poetry. Poetry relies on imaginative and figurative language to expand on a theme, examine emotions, and reflect on who God is and what he has done. God's timeless truth is written down by biographers and artists alike. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Got it! This is Wretched Radio. This is a tweet worth repeating. Tom Hammond sent this on a Sunday morning as he was prepared to preach through the Beatitudes and about not making false vows, not blaspheming God's name. What is it exactly to blaspheme God? We typically think of it as low speech about God, using his name in vain. And that, I do believe that that is encompassed in blasphemy. But the original Hebraic emphasis was in how you live as somebody who calls, in the Old Testament, as somebody who calls yourself Jewish. How are you representing God? And so this is what Tom wrote. By the way, Tom Hammond, he's the author of What Time is Purple? I do believe all of the purple shipments have been shipped. So you should be expecting yours, I think, pretty soon. Don't hold me to that. You can always send us an email if you want to check on it. No, but we had them printed. They were shipped. We sent them all over the globe, which was no small logistical nightmare. And we wanted to make sure that all of the taxes were paid, all of that, so that people could actually get them free and distribute them. That happens courtesy of our gospel partners, which, by the way, that reminds me, thank you if you've contributed to our matching gift campaign for the launch of our Fellows Initiative, which just keeps, it keeps heating up. It's just, it's going to be dynamite. If you could possibly support us in the endeavor to become what we're calling a Christian version of the Daily Wire without all the news and politics, we'd be very grateful. Wretched.org/donate. All right, so here it is. Here's how we hallow God's name. That's a good approach. So rather than just talking about what does it mean to blaspheme God's name, so Tom must have been in the Lord's Prayer in the Sermon on the Mount. What does it mean to hallow God's name? That should give us then an indication of what it means to blaspheme it. It's in both John 14 and 17. A disciple asked Jesus to show them the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, how I've lived my life, you've seen the Father. Then he says, while I've been here, he's praying, I've been glorifying your name. Interesting. So we can glorify his name or we can blaspheme his name. Now, most likely, we wouldn't restrict glorifying his name to praising or speaking well. We glorify him whether we eat, whether we drink, whatever we do, we glorify him, which indicates conversely, when we're not doing it rightly, his way, then we're blaspheming. We're detracting from his name. He writes this, the connection is inescapable. Hallowing God's name is not hallowing the title. It's hallowing the total. Oh, there, that's what I was looking for before. It's not just acknowledging the title. It is living in alignment totally with him by way of obedience and being conformed to the image of his son. Now, that's helpful and that's horrifying because it's not just pastors then who have a responsibility to make sure that they are living above reproach. It goes for everyone that you and I can be blaspheming God. Okay, so last week, my throat. It's mostly not quite better, but it's mostly better now. But last week it was really rough. And so I couldn't talk a lot to the delight of my wife. And I noticed because I was having to not talk, to not use my vocal cords, I realized how many idle words I speak. And now, an idle word does not necessarily mean sinful, but the number of times I could have just made a comment, an observation about something. It's an idle word, and every idle word is going to be judged. Now, that does not mean that if you're not speaking theologically correct, quoting the Bible, that that's automatically an idle word, and like a sinful idle word. Because you can have an idle word, and you can have sinful idle words. But I realized, whoa, we just talk so quickly, don't we? And that's why I think so often we're so deceived as to whether or not we're judgmental and we're kind of nitpicky and maybe negative because it just flows so naturally, doesn't it? And that's what I noticed when I was dealing with my throat. It's like, whoa, a lot of that stuff comes out of me. And I need to be more mindful of that because I represent God and so do you. Speaking of texts, another buddy of mine, Mike Abendroth. Graham Goldsworthy, I thought he was the guy from the Minnesota North Stars. At any rate, about how preachers fragment scripture and preach naked law. This is something that you need to be on the alert for if you are not a pastor. And you definitely need to be on the alert for this if you are a preacher. So here's the quote about how we can sometimes biff it when it comes to preaching, even when it is done expositionally accurately. But it fails to remember a really big hermeneutical issue. In my experience, writes Goldsworthy, the preaching of a series of sermons, say from an epistle, easily leads the preacher to fragmentation. Because while the epistle was written as a single letter to be read at one time, it is often divided up so that it is dealt with in Sunday sermons over a period of several weeks. that automatically is a danger. And I think we need to be mindful of that, because when you're an expositor, it is exceedingly easy to go, okay, here's my six verses this week, boom, and to forget about the flow and the argument. And here's an example of why that can be such a problem. This is, again, from Goldsworthy. You're preaching it over the course of several weeks or several months. Nothing wrong with that, provided we recognize the change dynamics. Thus, Paul may expound the gospel in the first part of the letter. Think Ephesians, chapters 1, 2, and 3. Gospel, gospel, gospel. And then go on to spell out some ethical and pastoral implications. When the preacher finally gets to deal with the latter, the implications, the moral commands, it could be weeks, months since the gospel exposition has happened. Uh-oh. And the connection between the gospel and behavior, very closely related in the epistle, can be lost. That is so true, isn't it? The result is that the exhortations and commands are no longer seen to arise out of the good news of God's grace in the gospel, but as simple imperatives of Christian behavior, as naked law. That's from Preaching the Whole Bible as Christian Scripture, Graham Goldsworthy. Pastor, do you need to maybe examine your sermons? You're trying to be an I've been doing a little observing about preaching. I don't know why, but I found in my bookshelf, it was a parallel commentary. So on the far left side, it would have the Bible verses. So, you know, Matthew all the way through Revelation. And then it had three columns of commentaries. John Wesley, Matthew Henry, and Charles Spurgeon. And I thought, oh, this could be kind of convenient to see if I'm stuck on a Bible verse to go look. And you know what I discovered? That a lot of their preaching wasn't what we would call today expository. It wasn't line by line, verse by verse, and went all the way through a book. Now, John Calvin did that to be sure. Other reformers did that to be sure. But oftentimes it wasn't. Now, put that on hold for a moment. So what were they basically doing? It's not right to call them topical sermons because they were definitely richer and deeper and more theological and way more biblical. But there's that style. Then you've got expository, what I adhere to and believe is the safest way to go about preaching. But then you've got classic Protestantism, which operates under pericopes, which means if it's a Protestant denomination that adheres to a church calendar, they don't preach books of the Bible. Why? Because that means you're going to miss some very important dates. So in these liturgical calendars, what you get is a sermon that's on that church calendar issue. It is about that subject. And the Old Testament, the Epistle, and the New Testament readings will be about that subject, which means there's no expository preaching, meaning line by line, verse by verse. Instead, it's to support the church calendar. Now, I can think of some deficiencies in that. Can't you? Well, you're just jumping all over the Bible, and you don't get to learn the flow of an argument and the arc of a particular narrative. So I see a deficiency. Having said that, did you ever hear anything about the ascension this year? It happened. You know, 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and hear about all of the implications of the doctrine that is so often overlooked. Well, if you go to a Protestant church that operates under a church calendar, you heard about it. But what you didn't hear would be line by line, verse by verse. All that to say, I think pastors should ride their horse. But as you do it, if you're going to pick expository, and that would be my encouragement, don't forget that the book is a flow, and that if you just focus, it's like, okay, here's my next set. Where's the next natural break? Clunk, take that. Chances are really good. Chances are very good. Not 100%, very good. You're probably going to be preaching a whole lot of law. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.